again there, folks. So one of the first videos that I did on this channel was one which I took a look at the ideas and concepts in Isaac Asimov's seminal series of books called Foundation, which were hugely influential on science fiction. And I came at it from a certain perspective where I investigated the problems which are kicked up by Asimov's book and Asimov's idea, which is really just, he uses science fiction, but it's a way to explore philosophical ideas from a certain perspective. And it also tends, which is a thing common in science fiction, where the actual individual characters are largely irrelevant and they just carry along the ideas which are coming in and the philosophy which is coming in. And there's a lot of that in Asimov's Foundation series, and I thought it would be interesting to take a look at it again. And the first time that I looked at it, I was mainly pointing out the problem of free will in Asimov's book, and how people are entrapped or entombed in this system, but they don't know anything about it. But I'll come on to that in a little bit later. I think just to kick this off, it's worth just running briefly through the basic idea, the basic concept that's behind Asimov's hugely influential book, Foundation. And I'm mainly only going to be looking at the first book here as well. And then kind of look at how that fits in with a more traditional or a different approach, because I've spent the last year or so spending a lot of time doing a lot of reading and videos on Oswald Spengler. And I thought it would be interesting to contrast the two mindsets, if you like. But firstly, let's just get to the nitty gritty of what actually happens in Foundation. So basically the idea is that in thousands and thousands of years in the future, humanity has colonized the entire galaxy, and it's become this gigantic space empire, and its head capital planet is called Trantor, which is the home to 45 billion people, and it controls all of the galaxy, all of the economics. It's very centralized, but everything always links back to Trantor, which was actually ripped off by George Lucas for his Star Wars universe, the idea that you would have a planet which was just one massive city, and it's layers upon layers. It goes very high up into the sky, but then also very deep underground to house the 45 billion people. And in there, there's a scientist called Harry Seldon, and he's discovered that the civilization is going to collapse, that the civilization, the empire, is heading into a dark age of decay and war and bloodshed. And he's come up with a way to predict the future, which he's called psychohistory. And he thinks that if you can reduce the amount of time, or he at least believes that he has found a way to reduce the amount, the age of chaos, if you like, which will be 30,000 years. And he's managed to find a way in which he thinks he'll reduce it to 1,000 years. And the plan involves sending colonists to the far side of the galaxy with all of the knowledge that's been accumulated by the Empire, which sits on Trantor, and then sending colonists off to a far-flung planet, which they call Foundation, and essentially just starting all over again from the idea that you've already accumulated all of this science, all of this knowledge, and you'll do it again. It's also important to remember that Seldon isn't magical mumbo jumbo. His theory of predicting the future is just purely scientific and mathematical, which, again, this runs throughout Asimov's entire saga. So it's what my criticisms in the first video were that it was technocratic, and then also that the people who are living under the system, they don't actually know that it's a plan, because the plan will then, they'll be able to predict the future via Harry Seldon, who pops up to help them every few hundred years or something, because he knows that they're going to be at a certain stage and then they're going to be facing certain challenges. And so the what will become the elite of Foundation have actually Harry Seldon on his side, and they have some way of predicting the future, though it isn't mystical, magical mumbo-jumbo. It's purely scientific. So what drew me back to Asimov and Foundation and what he's saying with his work is current events in the West. And what we'll see in Foundation is that Asimov's thinking is purely utilitarian. So the most obvious one is that if you can reduce the years of chaos and bloodshed from 30,000 years to 1,000 years, then it's worth it. And the where it gets a little bit more complicated and a little bit more what we can look at the West today and think about it, is that if you then have to manipulate people and cajole people and kind of trick people into living in a system which isn't ideal, or where they think they have free will and they don't, then all of this is worth it because of this utilitarian mindset. And this is something that we see across the West. Like, this is like the dominant strain of thought in the modern West today. If you think of something like somebody like Steven Pinker, who has a similar background to Asimov, you'll see again that if, say, people in the Midwest in America have less goods, less money, but somebody in Africa has more, then it's worth it because the total amount of happiness on the world, it has been leveled out, and there's more happy people than what there is unhappy people. And this is how they come at it. And this is exactly how Asimov is coming towards his foundation, where if you can then set up the entire galaxy and reboot the empire, but do it within 1,000 years instead of 30,000 years, then it's worth it because the amount of suffering will be drastically reduced. So Asimov's mentality here is very, very technocratic and materialist. And this, of course, is exactly what we find in the West today. You'll also find that it's godless. And what's interesting is that when you dig into Asimov's background a little bit, he was a member of an sort of organization which looked to influence science fiction. And Isaac Asimov is kind of like the J.R.R. Tolkien of science fiction. He was hugely influential. Some people would say, along with Arthur C. Clarke and one or two others, that he almost created the genre. But he was he definitely infused it with a sort of left-leaning, liberal outlook, a progressive outlook, which you also see in something like Star Trek. But what's interesting, again, is that when you look into his background, he was a member of an organization called the Futurians, which was dominated by people of a similar background to Asimov, and they were also Marxists. From the Wikipedia page, it says, at the time the Futurians were formed, Donald Walheim was strongly attracted by communism and believed that followers of science fiction should actively work for the realization of the scientific world state as the only genuine justification for their activities and existence. It was to this end that Walheim formed the Futurians, and many of its members were in some degree interested in the political applications of science fiction. Members of the Futurians included Walheim, Michel, Launders, and Cohen briefly became interested in technocracy. They used the word technocracy explicitly. A utopian movement led by Howard Scott, and attended a study course, and it goes on. So you can see that in not just in Asimov's thinking, but in the ideology and the movement behind it, they were specifically trying to infuse in science fiction this idea that technocracy was a positive good. And then underneath that was this utilitarian framing of it all, which we can now see manifesting itself across the Western world today. So in Asimov's universe, we can see that what's happened is a civilization, his galaxy then, a civilization has sort of ran its course and then went into the empire stage, become highly technological, very scientific, very materialist, there's no religion, there's no God, and then it's began to collapse in on itself. And there's going to be years and years of bloodshed. It's going to end. It's going to end in a dark age. And then what they're trying to do is, within Foundation, is to reboot the civilization. They're going to send these colonists off to Foundation with the scientific knowledge accumulated by the civilization, and essentially they'll reboot it all over again. But the problem with this is that if we then think, as seems to be the case in this in Foundation, that a civilization has a cycle, in other words, it has a definite beginning, a middle, and an end, well, it seems to me that what they're trying to do here is sort of carry on the civilization from a certain point. They're not interested in a civilizational cycle, even though they're already trying to escape one civilization which has reached its end point, it's reached its winter. But instead of actually letting nature take its course or stepping entirely outside of the materialist and scientific frame, they are then just going to reboot it. So it would perhaps reboot at the early winter stage or the late autumn stage. But it is purely because of this utilitarian mindset, which is dominating the thinking of Asimov and all of these other sort of, to be kind, it would be Enlightenment era liberals, Jeremy Bentham. But then, you know, let's be honest, it's also there's also a lot of Marxist thought in this as well. So the problem that I got into on the previous video about Foundation is the problem which arises of free will. Because here you have billions and billions of people who are living inside of a system which is, it has a calculated outcome. Everything about their world, their galaxy then, has been pre-planned and other people have planned it all out for them. And so they exist within this system and they think, presumably, they think that they're free. They think they can do what they want and they think they have some kind of agency and influence over the state of the civilization. Democracy is a thing in this. So they have the right to vote for political leaders or political parties. In some cases they do. But by and large, then what they do not have is any influence over the meta course of the history which they're living within. But this isn't—that's not because of a more naturalistic outlook. It's because it's all planned. And now you begin to see when you look around in the world today, in our world, is that the case? This is why you have so many conspiracy theories. You've got all of these people, and they feel as if something's not right. They feel as if they don't really have any agency, or their opinions aren't being listened to, and so on. And so what Asimov's setting up here, and by the way, let's not forget, as a positive good, this is the utilitarian argument come back, they're setting it up because it's the least harmful. But what they're also doing is playing a gigantic con trick. But this also raises a question about the nature of the control system that all of these billions of peoples, or, you know, if you listen to some people, we here on Earth are living within. Are we living within somebody else's plan? And what can you do about it? And there's a problem that they have in all of these kind of thinkers. What you'll notice about whether it's Steven Pinker or Asimov himself or the people, the scheming types at the Futurians who wanted to put all of these ideas into science fiction, to be a little bit harsh there, what they are all terrified of is the idea that somebody can harness the will of the masses and turn it against the plan, turn it against the system, the sort of the great man of history idea. And this is exactly what Asimov gets into in the second book, which I'll touch on briefly. And in that book, it features a character called the Mule, who is telepathic. And this was not part of Harry Seldon's plan. This wasn't accounted for anywhere. And what the Mule is able to do is harness the masses, manipulate their minds and then turn them against the plan of the Foundation, and he causes absolute havoc. And then, of course, back on Earth, you can think of certain historical figures who've done something similar. On the softer side of that, it would be somebody like Donald Trump. On the harder side of that, it would be somebody like somebody from Germany in the 1930s or something. But the point is, these people are acutely aware of the fragility of the system when it comes to somebody who is able to see through it and then also harness the masses against the system itself because of the calculated outcome. So what we're seeing in Foundation is a worldview where history for the greater good should be planned out and then implemented by technocrats, and the masses shouldn't know anything about it. And they will justify this as being for the greater good. But then, look, let's be honest, it's also handy for the elites who sit above implementing the plan. Now, What you'll also notice in all of this is that it's very scientific, it's mathematical, and it has a complete and utter absence of metaphysics. They just don't care. Now, somebody who does care about metaphysics a great deal is Oswald Spengler, and he, like Asimov in this case, is a philosopher of history, if you like. So, but what's interesting is that he comes at this from a polar opposite direction. Because the kind of thinking which is being implemented by the utilitarian argument, by Asimov, by the people at the Futurians, by Steven Pinker, all of these people, is what Spengler would call the intellect. In place of having any kind of soul or any kind of spiritual existence, it's just pure intellect and crunching numbers. This is then what they're going to use, this thinking, this framework, is what they're going to then use to essentially enslave the galaxy in Foundation. And once again, they see it as being good that they're doing this. So to contrast that with Spengler, Spengler would have the complete opposite view, where the actual essence and soul and the real being of the civilization begins actually very early on, in the springtime. That's when it's in its most religious phase. And he, I've spoken about that before, but also it's interesting that he views the town and the cottage and the village as being much more rooted in the natural world and in nature. And you'll see, he talks about, for example, how cottages blend in like little hillocks, and the village, the old village streets kind of wind and turn just like streams. So it's as if the natural world is replicating itself, and this goes for all civilizations as well, that the primitive village and small town will replicate itself and copy from the surrounding countryside. And then as it grows, it's essentially the difference in his view, the difference between a village and a town is just that the town has less soul, and then you move on once again and you enter into the city, and then eventually the what he calls the megalopolis, or the world city, like London or New York or whatever, or Rome in its day. And what you then find is that the essence and the soul of the people and of the countryside and of the land, as he puts it, dies in this sort of hard stone, rectangular concrete constructions, the brick. In the cold slab of the stone, the spirit and essence of the people goes to die. Well, what is that? This is exactly, and what you get is the rise of the just the pure intellect, which is not rooted in anything except abstractions. And of course, this is exactly what Asimov is trying to do in Foundation. So the cycle of history is being cut off at a certain point, but it's the exact worst point to cut it off at. And so what he's doing is to try and reboot this way of thinking, and in the world today as we see it, if you want to go there, what they're doing is trying to reboot civilization or reset it, or but along the lines only of the intellect. And so when we see the Foundation, it's not with the purpose of sort of giving people a good life and then letting them flourish in a natural way, which would take thousands upon thousands of years to have a genuine reboot of a civilization. You would just have to let them go back to the land and let things run their course. What they're trying to do is not just avoid the chaos which is to come after the empire collapses, but then also to cut out all of the section of the civilization which actually gives meaning to people's lives. So the religious and the artistic and the symbolic, all of this is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. They aren't in the least bit interested in beauty and truth and goodness and meaning and being in the world. They're interested only in getting the scientists to get this new Foundation civilization up and running, and then what's more, to trap people within it forever. So Trantor is the embodiment of the world city, or in the case of Foundation and Asimov, it's the galaxy city. So as it's the cold bureaucratic center, the raw intellect at the heart of the civilization, which, as Spengler would have it, it just sucks in and drains everything around it of all spiritualism and all meaning. Everything is dragged into the city and then sort of pumped back out as just being raw intellect, which is meaningless and shallow, materialistic, empty, and devoid of any kind of meaning. And this is exactly what Trantor is. It's actually quite remarkable how similar this is to a Spenglerian prediction, except, of course, Spengler has nothing but contempt for it and views these cities as being hell shows, as a hellscape which just blots the landscape and destroys all life and everything of wonder. Whereas in the mindset of Asimov, quite the opposite. They see this as being something which has to be replicated as fast as possible. And the reason for this is because the Steven Pinkers, the Asimovs, the technocrats, they are themselves the creation and the product of the world cities, of the worlds that we have today. So it's actually really extraordinary that what Asimov is doing here and what the rest of these technocrats do, the people, the world planners, the people who are mapping out history, they are doing it through the framework of the thinking, the raw intellect, which Spengler has complete contempt for, which is unrooted to the earth, which is severed its roots completely to any kind of rootedness in the world, in the countryside, and in the local village of the soul of the peasant. And instead, when we look at Foundation, what it is, it's an exercise in actually taking that intellect and that shallowness of the late civilization and of the city, and then parading it around as something noble and sophisticated and wonderful, and then going still further and saying we have to entomb the people in the thinking of our intellect forever. And they will never have any choice in it. And so, in my view, Asimov's vision here is absolutely horrific. It's a horror show. But then, what then is that when we actually have a look at Harry Seldon, this compounds the problem. So, in a way, Harry Seldon, who comes up with the idea of psychohistory, once again removing all agency from anybody, in a way, he acts as a kind of Spengler in his own right, in that he's predicting the problems to come. He's predicting in a different way. Spengler does it through more metaphysics and a study of history in his own way, which was mainly drawn on Goethe and Nietzsche. But then in Harry Seldon's case, it's purely scientific. And so, once again, it's the intellect of the late-stage civilization trying to get to grips with the late-stage civilization and what is to come and how they can fix it. And the way they've come up with to fix it is actually just to compound what the problem is in the first place, which is that the people are no longer rooted to anything with any meaning. And then they're going to carry that on in perpetuity forever and ever and ever. The main problem that Trantor has is that it's going to enter into it what Spengler would call its age of Caesarism, which is to say that there's going to be demigods coming in who are going to put an end to the obsession with money and the intellect, where they do, and politics, which they don't have much time for, but which is driving all of the people to misery and depression. But this is also a sign of civilizational exhaustion, where its prime spirit has just become clapped out. There's nothing left. And the reason for that is the city. It is the mega city just draining the entire civilization of all of its essence. And so this is the reason that it will be collapsing, though Asimov barely ever touches on it at all, but Spengler talks about it a great deal. So then you'll also notice that there's never the option where the people will, where it'll just be allowed to break apart and people will have to go back into their roots and everything will just sort of drift away. Instead, there's an immediate need to keep things going. But the problem is, the reason the civilization is exhausted is because of the economics, the scientific, the rationalist mindset. That's what's happened to it in the first period. That's what's plaguing it. That's what's driven it off a cliff. And so their reaction is to just start it all over again, but embedded with all of the problems that's led to the civilizational collapse in the first place. So if you then replace Harry Seldon with Spengler, what would he suggest? Well, he would probably suggest that it would have to run its course, and that the people should be allowed to go back to the land as quickly as possible. That there will be suffering, but he would even question the degree to that suffering. It's taken as axiomatic by Asimov that the collapse of the Empire would lead to, in other words, the collapse of a centrally planned galaxy operating through an economic zone. If that ended, then it would be chaos. Spengler would even question this, to be honest, though he would say that the Age of Caesarism is a pretty harsh and bloody one. But more importantly, the people would be able to step outside and step away from the intellect, the midwit of the city, and go back to the land where they can be at peace once again and enter into a more religious and spiritual phase once again, which would itself begin to see something blooming of an entirely new civilization. But once again, the technocratic mindset will have none of it. Whatever it takes, people have to be operating within this network of the intellect, of the city, of the midwit, if you like. So that's just some thoughts on that, folks. And I'll catch you later.